Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
And good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Afternoon Drive. Goodman Mason. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. In the meantime, Mace, how about those Atlanta Braves?
How about them, huh?
How about them? Yeah. Unexpected.
Yes, you think about the fact that they haven't been in the World Series in 22 years. The last time they made it was 1999. This was their 13th playoff appearance since the last time they had the World Series. And you can argue that of those 13 teams, really, you'd rank this team about 13th in terms of team quality, based on mainly what they lost to injuries over the course of the year. They're down their number one starting pitcher. They're down Ronald Acuña Jr. They're down Marcell Ozuna. And yet, here they are. Baseball's a funny sport, because I don't think you could take that much off a football team in terms of prominence and have a chance.
At the end of the day, I think this goes for all sports, maybe with the exception of the NBA. It's not about who's best during the regular season. It's about who's best at the right time. All you need to do is look at the Colorado Rockies in 2007. And now you can make the case, just look at the Atlanta Braves in 2021. Yes, the Braves were better during the regular season as a whole, but it's getting hot at the right time. Mm-hmm. Look at the Pittsburgh Steelers back in 2005 when they wound up beating the Broncos in the AFC Championship game. They were the better team at that time, because they were rolling through the playoffs. They were good during the regular season. They were great during the playoffs. Look at the Ravens when they beat the Broncos in 2012. They were hot at the right time and a little bit fortunate with Raheem Moore.
Yeah, and they had a quarterback who was hot. The interesting thing about the Braves is you look at kind of what they had taken off their roster. When you basically remove your number one starting pitcher and Ronald Acuña Jr., I'd say that's probably the equivalent of losing your quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet here they are. But baseball is also a different sport, because while in prominence they basically lost the equivalent of quarterback probably has about 36% to do with your impact in a game and season. Even a great player, a great starting pitcher, he's only pitching once every 5 days. And a great player like Ronald Acuña Jr. is basically involved about in 12 to 13% of the game. That's
right.
It. Doesn't have the same level of impact. And so you can overcome that. And we're going to get into the Broncos and some of the trades they've made. One of the reasons why the Braves are sitting here in the World Series is because when they were 3-4 games below 500 and in third place in July, they decided, all right, let's make a few moves and try to stitch together an outfield and see what we can do. And those moves are why the team is sitting here right now in the World Series.
So you had a great weekend watching the Braves. I had a fabulous weekend at a couple of outstanding fundraising events. Fallen Hero Foundation, you have heard about them recently in the news with the shooting up in Boulder. The Fallen Hero Foundation is an organization that gives money to families, sets up funerals for officers killed in the line of duty. They've been very busy recently, and that is unfortunate. We had a record-breaking night on Friday night, met some great people. My friend Deborah Takahara, Fox 31 News, we used to work together. She was the MC. Congratulations to everybody involved. Heidi, the executive director, and Diana, she organized the event. We had a huge night. And then on Saturday, down at the Broadmoor in Colorado Springs, the Children's Literacy Center, to say we shattered a record is an understatement. I think we did over $100,000 more in the paddle raise compared to what they did in their last live event. Over $100,000 more than what they did a couple of years ago. So congratulations to Gina and everybody involved in Children's Literacy Center. But what a privilege to be a part of both events and raise a lot of money as well. Time now for the lead.
The Lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Go get some tonight in Denver, Centennial, Longmont, Lions, and Estes Park.
The trade deadline is a week from tomorrow, but the Broncos have been busy, and it's out of necessity, I think, more than trying to upgrade the team. Today, Broncos trade a 2024 draft pick, I believe it is a seventh or sixth round draft pick, to the Rams for linebacker Kenny Young and a 2024 seventh round pick. Young, he's been really productive this year. Third on the Rams in tackles, six tackles for losses, two quarterback hits, two sacks, one forced fumble, and one fumble recovery. Also, one pass defended. You can make an argument by stats alone. He was the Rams' top linebacker on the roster. You can make that argument. I think one reason the Rams probably traded him, his contract is up after this upcoming season. And then on Saturday, the Broncos traded a 2022 seventh round pick to the Vikings. No surprise, because George Payton knows a lot of these guys. In exchange for Stephen Weatherly and a 2023 seventh rounder, the Broncos have eight injured linebackers, including six on injured reserve. You think they made these moves because of all the injuries, or because you think they still believe they're in playoff contention?
Both, and also I think this is George Payton once more saying to Vic Fangio, okay, you got what you need. We gave you what you need here. Okay,
yeah.
You need help at these positions. We got you some depth. Kenny Young in particular is intriguing because the only reason the Rams are trading him is that they have somebody they want to put in the lineup behind him who is a younger player, and that's Ernest Jones. They want to get him in the lineup. And Kenny Young, as well as he was playing, and he was playing really well, finally, took him a while. Baltimore draft. I liked him in 2018 coming out in the draft. Baltimore drafted him. That was, by the way, the year of Josie Jewell, for example, in the draft.
Right.
Baltimore drafted him. I thought that was one where I thought, boy, that's going to be a great marriage, and it didn't work out. He didn't start really flourishing until he got to the Rams. And, well, by the way, played for Brandon Staley. I'm quite certain that Staley's word probably influenced the decision to trade for this particular player for right. The Broncos and Vic Fangio. So you get somebody who can start the rest of the season as long as he stays healthy. If you get Micah Kizer back in a few weeks, then at least then you can go with Kizer and Kenny Young and you're fine. Now we'll see. But this is not something that I think is going to move the needle appreciably for the Broncos making a playoff team.
You can make the case about Kenny Young. He is maybe as good as, maybe not, maybe a tick below of Alexander Johnson. But he's a better player than Josie Jewell, even though Josie Jewell got off to a great start.
More talented, but Josie Jewell earlier this season was becoming a really good player.
But it was a couple games.
Even last year, Jewell, he's a guy that he overcomes his speed deficiencies and coverage deficiencies with being very strong in the box and always in the right place at the right time.
Well, we'll find out just how much the Broncos like Josie Jewell because he's in a contract year. And we'll see how much the Broncos like Kenny Young.
And Alexander Johnson, he's in a contract year too.
They're all in contract years. We're going to find out who really is the best.
It might be that they move on from Vic Fangio to go with a different defensive scheme, and none of that matters.
I have very little doubt the Broncos are going to move on from Vic Fangio.
Well, like we've said, if they don't make the playoffs,
they're not making the playoffs.
All right, that's it. And you don't, yeah.
They're not. And I'll tell you why. And we'll talk about this because we'll sprinkle this through the show. I've talked to more than a few people about this. Vic Fangio has lost that locker room. And locker room is a big word. A locker room is a big space. He has lost guys on defense, and he has lost guys on offense. They don't think he's accountable. They just don't. And the one phrase, and we're going to talk more about this in the second segment, so I don't want to jump the shark on this, but when he comes
up... You're jumping ahead. Jumping the shark is something different.
I don't mean to jump ahead on this, but when he refers to the players as they following the Browns game...
Over and over again.
Right. And then, you know, on Friday, somebody must have gotten into his ear.
Patrick Smyth. Probably.
Right? No question. You need to say we more. I can tell you right now, there are more than a few players who were not happy that Teddy Bridgewater started. More than a few, but not because having nothing to do with Teddy.
He was hurt. More than hurt. He was clearly injured.
They respected Teddy for going out there and giving everything that he could, but they cannot believe that. The players cannot believe they put Teddy in that situation and then they put the team in that situation because they see Vic is about being Vic.
And you know what?
It is. I got to tell you, you know what? It's toxic in there.
And you know what? We heard in the preseason from Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio that, oh, it was a close competition. Oh, we like both guys. Vic said, oh, I think Drew can be a starter in this league. If they were that close,
right,
and Teddy Bridgewater was hurt, as he clearly was injured, as he clearly was in that game, then wouldn't it stand to reason that if the starting quarterback is, say, 75% health-wise of what he can be, aren't you better off going with the guy that's 100% for the team, for the sake of Bridgewater? What would it harm if you call in the relief pitcher,
right,
for that game? And that's what the Broncos should have done. I wrote about it pregame. I think even more strongly of my assertion pregame now. Drew Lock should have started that game, and Teddy Bridgewater should have been told, look, you are injured. You can suit up and be the backup, and if we need you just in case, you can go in, but rest up. You will start against Washington if you are healthy, and that's it. Just clearly make it clear this is a relief pitching appearance, and that's it, but they chose not to do that.
Just like with Case Keenum, a relief pitching move. That's what that was. At the end of the day, there is a difference between being hurt and being injured, and Teddy was clearly injured, and Vic wanted to give himself the best chance to win. That's why he put Bridgewater out there. And let's go back to something that happened at the press conferences last week. Vic said, I expect Teddy to play, and when Teddy was asked about playing, he said, I'm not sure. Coming up after the break, something else Fangio said following the Browns game, and it is a complete conflict of something that he said the day that he was hired. It is as much of a contradiction as you could possibly imagine. That's next.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you want to do is all.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman, Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Mighty Plumbing, Heating, and Air. I've worked with them in the past. They just put a brand new HVAC system into my house. After 28 years, my HVAC system broke down. Their service was impeccable. They showed up on time, and I got the best products out there called Rudd. But they have an amazing offer for you right now. You can save up to nearly $5,300 on exclusive Mighty and Rudd heating and air replacement offer. You're also going to get 10-year parts and labor warranty, whole home air duct cleaning, a whole home humidifier, 5-year complete maintenance, and a smart thermostat, including installation. But if you mention you heard this on the show, you're going to get up to a 7-day vacation voucher to one of 4,500 incredible destinations. All of this is real. All of this is fantastic. Go to mightyph.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance, the Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
Okay, this is what Fangio said following the Browns game. What's most concerning is our fundamentals are lacking, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And when that's lacking, that's poor coaching on our part. That starts with me. Well, let's bring you back and turn back the clock to what he said the day he was hired, January 10th, 2019. We're not going to cut any corners. I'm a fundamental coach. Fundamentals is still what wins in this league, and I'm going to stress those. There will be no death by inches. We're going to stress fundamentals. So what the hell has happened in 2 years?
Well, it's the difference between what you do and what you say, right? It's like they said that they believed Drew Lock could be a starter in this league. They said that it was a 50-50 competition and went down to the wire, but it really wasn't. And if it were that close, Drew Lock would have played last week. He said that they were just devoted to fundamentals and all that, but the results have not been there. And at some point, when it happens over and over and over again, when you fail at the areas you say that you're going to work on, it does come back to the coach. You know, Vic Fangio say he was going to emphasize takeaways, right?
Well, they always say that.
Well, they always say that, but that was part of the reason he got hired, because the Bears took the ball away a lot back in the 2018 season. What is this team near dead last over the last 3 years at? Takeaways. Only one team has fewer takeaways than the Broncos do since Vic Fangio was on the job, took the job.
I talked to somebody today who knows what's going on inside that building, who understands the players' thinking. And I was told guys have hit a point specifically on defense. They are making business decisions moving forward for themselves. They are playing for contracts. They are playing not to get hurt because they don't believe in Vic Fangio anymore. And that's the majority of the defense.
They believe in themselves.
Right.
And they believe in their talent, so it doesn't mean that they won't make plays.
And by the way,
like, that's the thing. Like, some might say, oh, well, how could you say they quit because they came back? Hey, just because maybe you've quit on a coach doesn't mean you don't play hard for yourself or don't play hard for the guys in the huddle. Truth be told, that's where, even though Teddy Bridgewater being injured should not have played last Thursday night, Teddy Bridgewater probably is significantly responsible for the fact that the team came back in the second half because they played hard for each other in that huddle and they play hard for him.
So you would think that guys are going to fundamentally play better with sounder fundamentals. But it sounds like not that it's every man for himself. They don't want to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure they're going to make their money. You would think the two of those would tie together, but apparently from the player's perspective, that does not tie together. I think it is fair to say Vic Fangio has lost this team, and I don't think they're going to win on Sunday. I think when you don't really listen to your coaches, and you don't listen to their game plan, I think that's pretty much it. And I can tell you right now, there are more than enough players on offense that do not believe in Pat Shurmur either. A lot of guys in that room do not believe that Graham Glasgow should be playing at right guard because he's too banged up and he has health issues and things need to be done. I think a lot of guys on that team wanted Calvin Anderson to be the starting right tackle. No disrespect to Bobby Massey, who's done a fine job. And there's not a revolt in that locker room, but there are a lot of guys who are really upset right now.
Well, it's funny. I don't mean to pick on one player, but remember in the Raiders game, we were talking about Cortland Sutton not really making an effort to make a tackle on an interception?
Self-preservation.
Yes, because, and I'm going to defend him here, even though I didn't like the play, I'm going to defend him by saying, look, I got injured on a play like this. I'm in a contract year. I am not messing up my future
right
on this sort of play. And actually, the funny thing is, like, as the return progressed, there were some other business decisions that were made. It right. wasn't just him. Fourth quarter, you're out of it. Yeah, you're probably not going to go that little extra mile to make a tackle on an interception return.
And you are not going to go out of your way to help your coach when you're trying to self-preserve. When your coach says about injuries, they can't use them as excuses.
Yeah, that was bad form.
You use the term they when you're no longer with the team, when you have checked out of the team. And I'm not suggesting Vic Fangio has checked out being the head coach or being the defensive coordinator. I can tell you this, defensive players do like Ed Donatell. They're not crazy about Vic Fangio, especially when he uses the term they and not we. And you pointed out on Friday, Fangio was saying we a lot.
Yes, somebody got to him. But it's interesting to think about this. Vic Fangio is clearly in possession of a brilliant defensive schematic mind, right? But if it's about playing harder, let's say they did make a move from Vic Fangio. I think the defense would be better with Ed Donatell calling it because they probably play harder for him. Because, like you said, they're still on board with him. Who would they? Would the offense play harder for somebody else? Different calling the plays. Would they play harder for Mike Shula or Zach Azani?
They would play harder for Mike Shula.
Yeah,
no question about it. Now, Fangio met with Joe Ellis and George Payton and John Elway after the loss on Friday. You put this in the actual notes. You wanted to know, why is Fangio meeting with Elway? I can tell you why.
He's president of football operations.
That's right. And as and as Elway has stated publicly, I just kind of want to be in the loop. Right now, Elway wants to play golf. He wants to spend time in Coeur d'Alene. He has spent over 10 years being part of this organization.
But he still wants to be involved in the big decisions.
He does.
That's the interesting thing. Like, you want to be involved in the big stuff, but you're not putting in the same level of commitment as the others. And because, like you say, he is spending a little bit more time enjoying life, and it's his prerogative to enjoy life. At the end, that doesn't mean he should be involved in the decision.
Things are going to have to really go off the rails and into a ditch for Fangio to get fired this year. They're going to have to get blown out by Washington. It's going to have to be something, because there have been more than a few punches that Vic Fangio has already absorbed this year. He's wobbly, but you're going to need a knockout punch from like a Detroit or a Washington.
Yeah. Do you think they would, if they had a blowout loss to Washington? By the way, don't get fooled by Washington losing by 2 touchdowns to Green Bay yesterday. That game could have easily gone the other way.
Right.
Because Riverboat Ron, as his want, goes for it on fourth down a lot, right? Ron Rivera, their head coach. They came up short. Now, one of the times they came up short because of a rule change that has been made in recent years regarding quarterback slides and dives, and how if you dive head first rather than feet first slide, they are going to say you give yourself up. And that literally took a touchdown for Washington off of the board. Washington, that is a team that you talk about playing hard. They're 2-5, but they are playing really hard. Now, their secondary is a mess. They have a bad pass defense, but they're playing hard. And if they play on Sunday the way they did at Lambeau Field yesterday, there's a very good chance they win that game.
We're going to talk about this next for our Rocky Mountain Forest product shout-out question to our friends Ty, Cal, Kate, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. There's going to be somebody in the building on Sunday who's going to be considered to be the Broncos' new head coach. He will be on the field on Sunday, and he is not with the Broncos organization. We'll talk about that next.
Take that.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Welcome back. Afternoon Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public for your next project, not retail, but wholesale, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda, or find them at sthmazda.com.
Okay, every Monday on the show, we do the Rocky Mountain Forest product shout-out question to our friends Ty, Cal, Kate, and Evan from the Just Us Guys podcast. And Mace, here is the question for the boys. If the Broncos lose on Sunday to Washington, their record falls to 3-5. Do you think the search for a new head coach starts on Monday? And who do you think would be some of the top names on the list?
I don't think it starts on Monday. I think they would wait until after the bye week, after the Philadelphia game.
I can tell you right now, it has already started. They have already done a little digging. They've already done a little research.
Well, every general manager always has a list.
Correct, but they've already started the process, not in earnest. But they've already started, let's just say, doing a little research, and this team right now is 3-4. With that, who do you think would be candidates?
Are we talking about interim, or are we talking about permanent?
Permanent.
Permanent?
Permanent.
Permanent, well, you start looking for connections, you start looking for experience. I would say, for example, someone who could be on their list could be Leslie Frazier, who worked for George Payton in Minnesota.
Okay.
I tend to favor coaches who have experience. They've done the job before. Someone like Dan Quinn, defensive coordinator in Dallas, could be on the radar.
Okay.
If they look on, if they look to a young coordinator, someone who's getting some more buzz, and also if you're in the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, could be Nathaniel Hackett, Green Bay offensive coordinator.
Okay. I'll give you a list of five guys, and one guy's going to be in the building on Sunday. Dan Quinn, I believe, would be at the top of their list. Daryl Bevel, I believe, would be on their list. Scott Turner, the Washington football team's offensive coordinator, Norv Turner's son, would be on the list of potential candidates.
Didn't he work in Minnesota a while back, too?
Look it up.
Yeah, he did.
Uh-huh.
He was QB coach.
Right. Yep. Leslie Frazier ties with Minnesota.
Worked for George Payton.
And Kellen Moore, the offensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, but I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he will likely be promoted to assistant head coach. So if McCarthy gets canned, Kellen Moore is going to be the guy. I don't think Jerry Jones is going to make the same mistake twice and let Sean Payton walk.
Now, one thing, though, is some of those candidates, like a Kellen Moore, if he were in the mix, they will probably have other offers, and the Broncos don't offer the best situation because of the ownership issues.
I'm going to say one more thing, and then, guys, I'm going to toss it to you. What do you think? There are two guys on this list that have ties to one guy. You mentioned maybe the Packers offensive coordinator. Dan Quinn and Daryl Bevel have ties to Russell Wilson. Keep an eye on that, because Wilson is incredibly unhappy in Seattle. Guys, what do you think?
Daryl Bevel, of course, is he's in Jacksonville right now.
Yep.
And the interesting thing with that is if things go sideways in Jacksonville with Urban Meyer, and yes, they did win last week, but don't think that that solved every problem down there. It didn't. If things go sideways, Daryl Bevel is almost certainly going to be the guy who takes over down there.
Yep.
And certainly he and Trevor Lawrence are on the same page, and Lawrence is Lawrence is doing good things every game. I'm not sure that Jacksonville would let Daryl Bevel out of their building.
Okay.
And so that's one reason why I'm not sure that he would be in the mix. I think if Urban Meyer does move on, Daryl Bevel is probably the best candidate to replace him and actually be the full-time head coach.
I don't think he'd be the best choice for the Broncos head coach anyway, so I'm fine with that. I think the best choice is Dan Quinn, and I'll give you a lot of reasons why. Number one, he led Atlanta to the Super Bowl. Number two, as his offensive coordinator, he might go after Kyle Shanahan's staff and hire their offensive coordinator. Number two, strong defensive ties. Number three, long relationship with Russell Wilson, who wants out. Number four, Broncos fans should know what his defense did to the Broncos in 2013.
Well, Paxton Lynch was the quarterback, so some of that was doing it to themselves. The story
Wait,
of that.
So, what does Paxton Lynch have to do with this?
What I'm saying is, of course, the Broncos lost the Falcons. Paxton Lynch started that day.
No, I'm talking about the Super Bowl.
Oh, you're talking about Super Bowl 48. I thought you were talking about Super Bowl.
Dan,
I thought you were talking about when Dan Quinn was the head coach of Atlanta.
Dan Quinn was the architect
right.
of the Legion
well, I
of
thought,
Boom.
But you were talking about the Falcons. I thought you were talking about when
no,
he was the head
I'm
coach.
I'm saying when he was in 2013.
Yes.
In 2013.
That was a long time ago.
That's what I said. In 2013, yeah. Broncos fans should right. be familiar with his handiwork.
I see. The thing that, when I think of Dan Quinn more recently, I think of, he had Kyle Shanahan as his offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. and Kyle Shanahan was the guy who picked the lock of that no-fly zone defense with running backs against the Broncos linebackers. And Denver's D was never the same after that loss to the Falcons. The other thing, I'll say this for Dan Quinn, I wouldn't be opposed to him going to the Kyle Shanahan tree, but I would say this, don't confine yourself to saying schematically we have to run this kind of offense.
No, I don't think he will necessarily limit himself, but what I'm saying is he knows what a Kyle Shanahan defense or offense can do for him. That mm-hmm. offense took him to the Super Bowl as a head coach with the Falcons.
And it got him there, and ultimately a little bit too bold when conservatism would have been the call. And so him there and then lost it.
Either way, the point is he won a Super Bowl ring as an architect of one of the greatest defenses of all time and then was the head coach of a team that went to the Super Bowl with an offense that was lethal after Kyle Shanahan turned around Matt Ryan's fortunes. He has seen it on both sides of the ball.
He'd have to make sure he got the right people, because the one thing that did happen in Atlanta was after that second year when they went to the Super Bowl, you had gradually diminishing returns over 4 years.
I understand. And I know losing Kyle Shanahan was huge.
Right. But that's the thing. Like, wasn't able to do much of anything to fix that. And that's the one thing where I think Quinn is intriguing, and I like the idea of having a coach who's done it before. But in the interview process, I would want to know this. What did you learn from those last, really the last 3 years when they went 7-9, 7-9, 0-5? So that's 14-23. What did you learn from those years that you will implement to make sure that you don't have a repeat of what happened in the back half of your time in Atlanta?
The guy who has the best resume by far, and it's not close, is Dan Quinn, because he has been to the Super Bowl and was the architect of one of the greatest defenses of all time.
Right, and that's fine. That's all on his resume. But I want to know how he'll prevent the gradual decline that happened in Atlanta.
Losing Kyle Shanahan was about 70% of it.
Yeah, and then you didn't replace him. And so the defense also, he was a defensive mastermind. By the time he left Atlanta, that defense was awful. Again, I would have to know the answers to these questions before I was sold on Dan Quinn.
Well, you look at Daryl Bevel, what he's done, does that float your boat that much?
No, but you'd be bringing him in to presumably get better at quarterback.
And that's
the other thing. You have to know what Dan Quinn is going to do on the offensive side and who he's going to bring in, because ultimately, this is, unless you fix quarterback, whether it's Russell Wilson or somebody you draft, if you don't get that right, it's all deck chairs on the Titanic.
If you want Russell Wilson, hire one of these guys, because your chances have just become a whole lot better. A whole lot better. Because Wilson wants out. And I'm sure Peyton will be in on that, just like he was with Matthew Stafford.
Of course, it wouldn't have come to that if you drafted Russell Wilson instead of Brock Osweiler back in 2020.
Well, George Peyton was not in charge of that.
I know he wasn't in charge of that, but that's the original sin of this whole thing.
Right. And then you have Scott Turner and Leslie Frazier, who have ties to George Peyton, right? And then you have Kellen Moore, who I do not think for a minute Jerry Jones is going to let out of his sight. I'm guessing that the Kellen Moore will be promoted. And it makes a lot of sense. I'm speculating, but the speculation makes sense. Kellen Moore will be an assistant head coach under McCarthy, and if McCarthy doesn't work out, Kellen Moore will become the head coach.
The interesting thing is that you can look at the Dallas Cowboys, for instance, and see how the start they've gotten off to. Obviously, a lot of that comes from having Dak Prescott back.
And a lot of their success has to do with their defense.
No, but you wouldn't let me finish. That's what I was about to say, but you interrupted me. It's their defense that has made that possible, because they've had years where Dak Prescott has flourished and their D was terrible. This is the first time since Dak Prescott got there that you can look at the Cowboys and say they're a complete team. It's why I think it's interesting that Jerry Jones, he would fight to keep Kellen Moore, but he may not fight to keep Dan Quinn.
Because of what happened with who walked out the door? Sean Payton.
But he also fought to keep Jason Garrett, and that was
a mistake.
That was mediocre at best.
By the way, do not be surprised at all if Jason Garrett gets an interview. Shouldn't be the head coach. You know why he shouldn't be the head coach? Because I'm not calling him coach. I'm calling him Jason. That's what I'm calling him. The point is, I think they're going to interview Jason Garrett for this reason, to get intel on Kellen Moore. I think that's why he would get an interview. By the way,
what was Jason Garrett's record with Dallas, by the way?
You mean as a head coach?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
I was surprised. Oh, there we go. 87-70, including playoffs. I was surprised. Because when I think of Jason Garrett in Dallas, you know what I think of?
Yeah.
8-8, 9-7.
Yeah.
And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of his 9 full years on the job were 8-8 or 9-7. So there's something to that.
I'll give him credit more for going to Princeton than I will be for being a quarterback and a head coach in this league. What do we have coming up on Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it?
Tom Brady with a career milestone in Sunday's win over the Bears. But unfortunately, Mike Evans tried to give away the ball that made it all happen. So now that fan is in for a lot of a lot of payback from the Bucks as he gave the ball back. We'll talk about what that fan will be getting after the break right here on Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason on Mile High Sports.
Afternoon Drive with Goodman and Mason, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Andrew.
Drive, Goodman Mason. Watch us, milehighsports.com. You can reach us, Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Mace Denver, at Eric Goodman. If you are looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, want to tell you about my friend Heather Taylor and her team at Impact Commercial Real Estate. They think out of the box. They're going to get your deal done, whether you are buying, leasing, or selling. I used to have my real estate license. I used to work with so many realtors that just didn't think out of the box. I thought there was only one way to get a deal done. And if you think out of the box and you are creative, then you know what? You're going to get a lot of deals done. You're going to have a lot of very happy clients. With that, I want to bring in Heather. How are you, Heather?
I'm great. Thank you.
Okay, we only have probably about 10 weeks left before the end of the year. And with the possible tax increases, boy, now would be the perfect time to sell, don't you think?
Yes, we have so many clients that are either getting their properties ready or are ready to sell. They're trying to beat that end of the year deadline. We do think that the taxes are going to increase. I know there's a different timeline for the legislative process and how that works. Nobody really knows, but everybody's kind of expecting it to happen. Our individual income tax rate to increase, corporate tax rate. But the big thing that my clients are worried about is the capital gains taxes that are going to increase. So if you bought a property, you know, years ago, and maybe you bought it for $100,000 and you're selling it today for $500,000, that difference is what you're going to pay those capital gains on. And many clients were using the 1031 exchange program, but that's scheduled, we'll see what happens in the bill, but scheduled to look different as well. So people are just trying to sell now so that they can hopefully avoid some of those gains and some of those problems that might arise next year. Maybe it all changes before the bill signed. That would be great, but we're just kind of preparing and expecting for that to happen.
How bad do you think it potentially could be?
That's a good question. I mean, the spending bill is a big bill. There's a lot of money and a lot of spending they want to do, and they need to find a way to pay for it. So that's kind of where these tax increases are coming from. One good thing that they're doing, there are energy efficiency bills in there. So if somebody can't sell by the end of the year, we've been talking to some of our clients, maybe they just physically can't. They have too many jobs going. They can't prepare the building. Who knows what? If you look at some of those energy efficiency things, you can help save some money if you do have to sell in the next year, or maybe you have a building with tenants in it, and that income is what you're counting on. There can be other energy efficiency things you can do on that building to help save too.
Okay, so I mentioned that I was a realtor before, and it's all about being creative and thinking out of the box. I'll never forget the first deal that I ever did. I was sitting across the closing table from a realtor who had been doing it for a long time, and I'm like, this deal is not going to die, not on my watch, not my first one. And I got super creative, and I remember sitting at the closing table, and the person said to me, this deal never would have gotten done if you didn't think out of the box. And I said, well, that's good, because this was my first deal. And she nearly fell off her chair. Okay.
That's awesome.
Give me an example of something where you had to think out of the box, where with most commercial realtors, that deal would have died.
Well, I think now kind of what we're talking about, all these increases and stuff, what we're talking to our clients about, which is kind of thinking outside the box, and I am not an accountant, so you want to talk with your accountant about this, but many people take deductions or depreciation on their properties, and we're talking to them about deferring that. So each year, usually you're taking a certain amount of deductions or depreciation. We're saying, hey, maybe you skip it this year and do it in the next year when we know taxes are going to be higher. So trying to think outside of that box to save our clients some money, find a way kind of to work around it so that they're not getting hit so hard and they can still have a successful business. And hopefully the real estate that their business is in is also saved as well.
How do people get a hold of you, Heather?
They can call my cell phone, which would probably be the easiest, which is 720-217-1315. We also have a great website, impactcommercial.co, or you're welcome to email me as well, heather@impactcommercial.co.
Okay, so that phone number again, 720-217-1315, is that right?
Perfect, yes.
Okay, and then impactcommercial.co, right?
Yes.
You want to work with the best, work with Heather and her team. They have been doing this for decades, and they are the best, and they are recognized one of the top 10 commercial real estate agencies in Denver. Work with the best, work with Heather. Heather, have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right, bye. Time now for the final word.
The final word. Is presented by the McKenzie Law Firm. Don't wait before it's too late. Protect your family by setting up a will, living will, or estate plan with Dan McKenzie at themckenziefirm.com. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
Just in case you missed it, yesterday when the Buccaneers beat the Browns 38-3, Tom Brady became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 600 career passing touchdowns, and Mike Evans didn't know that it was the 600th career passing touchdown, went over, gave the ball to a fan in the stands, so later a member of the Buccaneers equipment staff went over and got the ball back. The fan was nice enough to just hand it right back. It's a historic ball. They want Tom Brady to be able to show it in his house and remember that moment. But it has just been reported by Darren Revelle that the deal has been made with the Bucs fan who gave up the Brady ball. He will receive 2 signed jerseys and a helmet from Tom, a signed Mike Evans jersey and his game cleats, a $1,000 credit to the Bucs team store, and 2 season tickets for the remainder of this season and next. Now, Nilo Piro, who does the show right before you guys, the Denver Sports Betting Show, he said he should have lifetime season tickets, to be honest. Do you guys think it's a fair trade, and would you have given up the ball so easily?
You know what? In that moment, you're probably feeling so much pressure when somebody comes up to you to give the ball back. But I'm not saying that I would have. I would actually hope that if I had a football like that, that I would have the wherewithal to say, no, 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 we're going to negotiate something that probably involves, yes, I'll admit, and this makes me selfish and I don't care, a nice wad of cash.
Yeah. At the end of the day, season tickets don't do you any good if Tom Brady's not playing for the Buccaneers.
Right. And the other thing also, I mean, there have been estimates that ball is worth $500,000, right?
Right.
I'd be like, if I just could kind of get past the moment and the pressure, I'd be like, okay, there's an awful lot I could do with that $500,000.
You know what?
I could literally pay for my daughter's college education and then some with that.
Split the difference. $250,000 and then you take all the other stuff. That's a fair deal.
Yeah.
It's not like Tom Brady can't afford it.
Exactly.
No. But asking for $500,000, I'm not saying that's being greedy, but
if it's the market value, potentially, that's not greedy. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just in case you missed it, Monday Night Football this evening to close out Week 7, the New Orleans Saints at the Seattle Seahawks. The Saints are 4-point road favorites with Russell Wilson still out for the Seahawks. Your expectations for tonight?
Geno Smith made a halfway decent acquittal of himself last week in Pittsburgh until one really bad mistake in overtime. So, you know, New Orleans is very quietly putting together a decent season, one that if they win tonight, they're 4-2. They're very firmly in the playoff conversation. They're a better team, and I trust LASIK Jameis Winston more than I trust Geno Smith in this game. So I'm going with the Saints.
All right, that was Mountain High Appliance. Just in case you missed it, when you purchase appliances, that is a big investment. So why not work with a sales staff that can help you design an entire kitchen? They can help you find something to fit your budget. I mean, you don't want to go to a big box store where the person selling you, I don't know, a stove or a refrigerator is, you know, selling you a, I don't know, a screen protector for your iPhone. I mean, really? Go with Mountain High Appliance, seriously. You can find them in Louisville and Littleton. You can also find their clearance center for extra low prices in Denver. Coming up after the break, yes, we're going to be talking more Broncos, and they are favored by 3 points over Washington. According to FanDuel, Jerry Judy's coming back. Albert O is coming back. You feel good about this game? Knowing all that? That's next.